Well, tonight I invite you to take your Bible and join me in turning to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to be reading the entire chapter tonight. Before we do that, I have a question for you. How is your memory? If it's anything like mine, it's not as good as it used to be. Most of us often wish our memories were much better than they are. However, one California woman has shown that having a great memory may not be as enviable as we often think. She can remember key details of her life and the world around her for every day of the past 30 years. And while most people would say they would love to improve their memory, have a memory like that, she admits that having a sharp memory has its downsides. Profiled several years ago in the journal NeuroCase, AJ, as she is called to protect her privacy, has the most astonishing memory scientists have ever tested. She can replay decades of her life like a movie. Give her any date and she can recall the day of the week, usually what the weather was like, personal details of her life at that time, and major news events that occurred on that date. After thoroughly testing AJ over 6 years, Dr. James McGaw of the University of California at Irvine decided that she is not using mnemonic devices to memorize data, nor is she a savant with exceptional memory in one area. In fact, this foremost authority on the human memory system is at a loss to explain AJ's recall. The woman who can't forget simply says that she intensely feels each day and remembers trivial details as clearly as major events. Asked what happened on August 16th, 1977, she knew that Elvis Presley died. But beyond celebrity headlines, she also remembered that a California tax initiative passed on June 6th of the following year and a plane crash in Chicago on May 25th of the next year. But a great memory isn't all it's cracked up to be. AJ had to study for exams in school. She struggled to memorize dates for history class and still has to make a weekly grocery list. When asked if she considered her memory a gift, AJ said, "Well, if I'm able to cure a disease, it's a gift. But to remember like the end of every relationship, that's hard." That would be hard. So how's your memory? Here's the thing, you don't have to have a perfect memory. But we do need to remember certain things. We are called by God and His Word to have a good memory about who He is and what He has done for us. Joshua chapter 4 is about remembering. It's about God giving instructions to His people to do something so that they would remember Him and what He had done for them. Follow with me as I read all 24 verses. A couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, we looked at chapter 3, which is the record of the crossing of the Jordan River, the Israelites crossing the river and how the Lord had stopped up the waters of the Jordan. This follows up on that. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the covenant has stood. And they are there to this day. For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priest passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priest bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel, pass over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Would you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who remember. Remember your great love and mercy and grace towards us. And a people who will share that remembrance with others. Father, we pray that your word would instruct us and shape us tonight. That would encourage us and challenge us and humble us. We pray that your Spirit would indeed have his way in each of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at this matter of remembering under three headings. Number first is who, the second is what, and third is how. Who should remember, what should be remembered, and how should it be remembered? How do we remember? First of all, who needs to remember? Well, we see here the present generation needed to remember. In verses 5 and 6, the Lord says, take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. This, the people who were passing over, they needed this as a reminder to them. Because of their past, these people were a forgetful and a faithless Lot. They easily forgot how God had acted on their behalf. The people of Israel were prone to forgetting that the Lord knew that they were going to be in among idolaters and idolatry and people who worshiped other gods. And he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to have this physical reminder of what he had done and how he was mighty to save them. So they needed to remember, present generation, because of their past forgetfulness, but also because of their future. They were going to face more impossible situations. They needed to remember, if we have a God, if we serve a God, who not only we have heard about part of the Red Sea, but we saw parted the Jordan River for us to cross through, then he will help us with our future task as well. Excuse me. Picked up something in Turkey I would have rather have left there. So the present generation, these adults, but also future generations would need to remember. We cannot assume that children will understand and accept the God of their fathers. This is emphasized both at the beginning and at the end of this chapter. Notice in verses 6 through 7, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When they passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And then at the end, in verses 21 and 22 or through 23, he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? And then you should tell them. See, the fact is that we need to pass on to our children knowledge of what God has done for us. Is this not what we read in Scripture again and again? Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to come back to this later. But the Lord tells His people, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob to give to you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he goes on, and he says, You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimony, his statutes, which he has commanded you, and you shall teach them to your children. Future generations need to remember, even though they may not have been even alive when these things happen. They need to hear from their parents and grandparents of what God has done. Present generation, future generations. But that's not all. All people need to know, need to remember what God has done. Verse 24. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. God does what he does not only for the benefit of his people, but for the benefit of all peoples, so they can know that there is a God, a one true and living God, whom all people need to know, need to worship, need to serve. Psalm 67, great missions psalm, speaks of the relationship between God's work on behalf of his people and his name being known among the nations. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Why does God bless his people? Just so that we can be blessed? No, so that we can be a conduit of his blessings to the nations. So, present generation needs to remember. Future generations need to remember. All peoples need to know and remember who God is and what he has done. Secondly, what needs to be remembered? What needs to be remembered? In the act of taking up these stones and putting them and making this memorial, there are three things that are represented here. First of all is God's presence. The fact that God was present with his people. We focused on this 2 weeks ago. Those of you who were here, if you weren't, the Ark of the Covenant was carried into the midst of the Jordan. And the Ark represented God's presence among his people. It was a reminder that God is the one who was with them. And God is the one who was doing this. God's presence among his people. But not only that, God's power on behalf of his people. As I indicated earlier, the Israelites were going to face great challenges in trying to displace the Canaanites, all the different ites from the promised land. They were going to face great odds. They couldn't depend merely upon their ability. I mentioned before that they were not battle-tested warriors. They were nomads. They had been wandering for 40 years. How were they going to accomplish this? They needed a God who would go with them and who would work for them, who would display his power on their behalf. They needed to remember his presence. They needed to remember his power, a God who could stop up, not only stop the water, but allow the people to walk through on what? Dry ground. That's pretty amazing. They needed to know they had a God who could do that. And he could do a lot more too. But they also need to be reminded of God's promises. That God is a God who keeps his word. God had promised Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And this land is going to be your land. God had promised Joshua, whenever Moses died, and there they were at the Jordan, at the entrance of Canaan. God had promised Joshua, wherever the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. It's yours. God was a promise-keeping God. And this was merely an evidence that God would keep his word. He parted the waters, allowed the people to walk through on dry ground. The reality is that without God's presence, his power, and his promises, we're without hope. We're undone. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, when I hear or read objections to miracles, like this one here where God stopped the waters, people walked over on dry ground, I often think of Paul's question. When he was giving his defense before King Agrippa in Acts 26, Paul said, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? If God can make life, can he not remake life? Just as the God who created life to begin with is able to give new life to dead bodies as well as to dead spirits, so the God who made the seas and the rivers in the beginning is able to part the seas and stop the waters of the rivers and dry up the land in an instant. If he can speak it into existence in a moment, can he not do what he wants with it? We have a God who can do that. A God who is able, who is with his people, and who promises to provide for us. Humanly speaking, the Christian life is impossible. It really is. First of all, salvation is impossible. We cannot raise ourselves from the dead, nor do we even have a desire to do so. We cannot change our nature from being an enemy of God to loving God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, the scriptures say, which means we cannot repent and trust Christ. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's a work of God's grace. Humanly speaking, obedience in the Christian life is impossible. Living in unity with one another in and of ourselves is not going to happen. turning the other cheek, going the second mile, loving our enemies. Are those all things that you can do, that I can do? Not apart from God's power, God's grace, God's mercy. But Jesus says in Matthew 5, 38 through 48, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for the tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise in the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And on and on. These are things that we're called to do that only the Lord can do in us. Forgiving those who offend us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I refer to this morning. Matthew 18:21-22. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Is that hard? No, that's impossible apart from a work of the Lord. And on and on and on. We're called to rejoice in suffering. We are called to trust the Lord, not to be anxious in anything, but by prayer and supplication, make our requests be known to God. Can we do that? Not apart from the Lord's presence, His power, and His promises. We must remember that God is with us, He is for us, and that what is impossible for us is not impossible for God. So, who needs to remember? Present generation, future generations, all peoples. What do we need to remember? God's presence, His power, His promises. How? How should we remember them? By giving attention, first of all, by giving attention to God's Word. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or the Word of Christ. I referred earlier to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where the Lord instructs the Israelites, fathers in particular, to teach their children His Word. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. James 1, 19 through 27. Have you all ever read that? Maybe about 15 minutes ago or so. Right in the middle of that passage. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We need to be in the Word of God. From personal experience, I know of nothing like reading and meditating on God's faithfulness in the Scriptures to build faith and faithfulness in our lives. D.L. Moody once made this statement. Y'all do know who D.L. Moody was, right? Everybody? Okay. Just checking. D.L. Moody once made this statement. I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. I have counseled with people who struggled with various problems. And even telling me, you know, I prayed about this. But when I come to ask them, how much time have you spent in God's Word over this? Often it's not much. Faith comes by hearing. We must remember what God has done by reading what He has done. Not just remembering what He has done for us, but remembering what He has done for His people throughout history. We must look to the Word of God. But then specifically, we need to look to the cross. We need to look to the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is the reminder. It is the memorial that we are given. What is it that the Lord has given us to remember what He has done for us? The Lord's Supper, right? And what is that? It is a reminder of the cross of Christ. How Christ gave His body for us. How Christ shed His blood for us. The cross of Christ is God's eternal reminder to us of His presence with us, of His power for us, and of His promises fulfilled for us. It is a reminder of these words. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us what? All things. All things. So we look to the Word of God. Specifically, we look to the cross of Christ. Who needs to remember what God has done? Everybody. Everybody. Present, future, everyone. What do we need to remember? God's presence, His power, His promises. How? By filling our hearts, our minds, our lives with His Word. And specifically, by immersing ourselves in the cross of Christ. And why? Why? To humble us, to encourage us, to cause us to worship, so that we can build our lives on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your work in and among and for Your people, Israel. We thank You, Father, that You did not just work on behalf of Israel thousands of years ago. Lord, You didn't just work on our behalf 2,000 years ago, but You continue to work for us. Lord, help us to remember. Help us to be encouraged, to be humbled. Help us, Lord, to trust You, to worship You, to live for You, to build our lives on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.